Our theme this year is marvelous in our eyes. And I'm so grateful that God is, in fact, marvelous. Not only is he marvelous, but the very essence of God's marvel is that God has people who will witness his marvel. That God will show his awesomeness, his greatness, his vastness. He would show that to a people. And this year, in 2018, I believe that God wishes to show himself marvelous to us through Jesus Christ. My prayer is that for our church, South Knollwood Baptist Church, in 2018, we will be those people who experience the marvelous nature of Jesus Christ. I'd ask you to take your Bibles with me tonight and turn with me to Psalm 118. I know you love the Word of God. I know you'd stand to honor it tonight. I'd ask you to remain seated right where you are. And for the purposes of our message tonight, I want to take us right into Psalm chapter 118. Psalm 118, a powerful passage of scripture that was given to us. It was written as a dedication hymn. It was written as a psalm meant for dedication. Many believe, as I do, that it was David who wrote it. However, it would be used throughout Israelites' history, even the rededication of the temple. But you find here this amazing psalm, and the truths that are found inside of it unpack for us an incredible truth about who Jesus is, about who our God really is. And I remind you tonight that God wishes to show himself marvelous, and he wishes to see a church that would exemplify, that would show off how marvelous our God really is. The Bible says in verse number 21, this year, if God will allow, we're going to look at the whole chapter of Psalm 118. Tonight will act as a preamble to the study of Psalm 118 for us, a passage I believe that will be become a dear passage, a passage that South Knollwood loves dearly. But tonight, if you'll allow, we'll look in verse number 20. In verse number 20 of Psalm 118, the Bible says, "This gate of the Lord unto which the righteousness shall enter, I will praise thee. For thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing." Would you repeat it with me tonight? It is marvelous in our eyes. I tell you tonight, it is a marvelous thing what God has done through Jesus Christ. In verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Ye have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath shown us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Father, I love you, and I thank you for the night you've given to us. I'm so grateful for all that you have done. I'm grateful for the fact that you have brought us these many years to tonight, to celebrate and to rejoice in the fact that by vision and by your picture in your mind, Father, you have brought us these many years now to this place this evening. And Father, we pray that you would show in our heart exactly what you want to accomplish in South Knollwood this year. And Father, I think of the impact and the potential that exists if God's people would dedicate themselves to this reality that God is marvelous, that Christ is marvelous in our eyes, that and all that it means, nothing can be missed here, Father. We wish to understand what it means to have a marvelous picture of Jesus. And I pray that you would give us that in 2018. Let our homes be led by mothers and fathers who Christ is marvelous in their eyes. Let this church be led by men and women. Let it be led by a pastor who has Christ in full view and finds him marvelous. I pray, Father, that you would let our families be filled with children who get an image of Jesus early on and fall in love with Jesus, for he is marvelous. And I pray, God, that in 2018, you would tune our hearts to see the marvelous nature of our Creator, of our Savior, of our Redeemer. And Father, I ask you'd work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Many times when we approach Scripture, we can fall into a utilitarian use for Scripture. We fall into kind of a utilitarian approach to Scripture. We're very Western many times in our approach to Scripture. In fact, there are some who say that the Bible is the greatest self-help book of all time. I remind you tonight, the Bible is not a self-help book. The Bible was not meant to be a list of do's and don'ts. So the Bible was not meant to be a checklist for how you live your life. It was, yes, it is an instruction book, and yes, it has instruction in this life. My fear is that we will approach God's Word as some sort of handbook and miss out on the fact that the book was never meant to tell us how to do right as much as it was to show us how to be right with God. That's what the book has been about this entire time. If we approach God's Word as some sort of self-help book, then we will approach it on being right. This is why we can squabble so quickly with others who claim the name of Jesus, because we are more interested in being right than being right with God. And I tell you tonight that I believe the greatest ambition of the church should be that we are a people, not that do it all right, not that get it all right, but we are a people who desire to be right with our God. We want to be right with Jehovah tonight. I want to be right with Jesus. I want our church to be right with God. And in being right with Him, He would show us a glimpse of who He is, and we might find Him marvelous. You see, tonight, if we're going to see a marvelous Jesus, we're going to have to get our eyes off of everything that has distracted us from Him. We're going to have to get our eyes on Jesus. We're going to have to stop being satisfied with everything that comes along and glitters and is flashy and is fun to do that is distracting us from Jesus Christ, and be a people who fall in love with Jesus. We must be a people who see Jesus. We must be a people who get Jesus at the forefront of our heart and chase after Him with everything we've got. I tell you tonight that we dare not turn the book of the Bible into a how-to book. It must be an about whom book. It must become about Jesus. It must be about who He is. Scripture allows the writers, and so often you find the writers in Scripture slide right past how to and right into the subject of who for. This is what we find in Psalm chapter 118. You don't find David writing this as a man who's trying to tell us how to do something. He is pointing to the reason we do it. He is pointing to the one that gets the glory when we do it. The text you hold in your hand is among some of the most important songs of worship in the Jewish handbook. They pulled this song out when they were making the great completion and highlight of their achievements. One such occasion was the setting of a cornerstone. They would read or sing this hymn when they would set the cornerstone. A home may use it to set the cornerstone as they were building some kind of building on the property. They would use it when they set the cornerstone of the high place there on the Temple Mount. As they set the cornerstone there of the Temple Mount, this was the song they dedicated it with. And David was outlining and highlighting who the temple was all about. The temple was not about the people who built it. It was not even about the worship style that they had. The temple was all about Jesus Christ Himself and the one who would fill the temple and one day make you the temple and one day fill you. And tonight I remind you that we are the temple, we are the tabernacle, we are the place that meets with God. And if we are going to be God's people, we must be people who are enthralled with Jesus. Generations later, Jesus used this same passage to describe Himself in Matthew chapter 21. In verse number 42, Jesus saith unto them, "Did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Jesus wasn't speaking about the building. He wasn't speaking about the temple itself. He was pointing to Himself, saying that the very cornerstone is standing in front of you. And the work that Christ would do is marvelous in the eyes of the church, is it not? My friend, tonight, the work of Christ must be marvelous. An 87-year-old man calls in the name of Jesus Christ this afternoon. It is marvelous in our eyes. God raises for our church $16,880 and $860 for church plant to reach souls in Leawood, Kansas. It is a marvelous thing in our eyes. It must be a marvelous thing that God is doing something at South Knollwood. My friend, we could be content with just simply allowing life to float by us, do our social things back and forth, go to our Bible classes and do our little things week after week after week, and never be bothered with the vision that God has for our church. But I tell you tonight that if God's going to work, he is going to work in a church that has decided that I want the vision God has for my church because it is marvelous in our eyes. Tonight, God wishes to do that work. And in this year, I believe he will do this work. Which brings us to this question. You see, it was Jesus that pointed out what the Jews had missed. In fact, Matthew records that because they did miss the cornerstone, they had rejected the very head of the corner. That is, the kingdom was being taken from them. How sad would it be if South Knollwood, we have the kingdom of God here in the local New Testament church, we have access to the kingdom of God, but because we lost sight of the cornerstone, we lost our own kingdom. We lost the very gift to Topeka, Kansas, and to your family, and to my family. And God just let the South Knollwood Baptist Church sit on a shelf till Jesus gets back. No, my friend, I refuse to be a part of that. I refuse to stand idly by while the vision of God for South Knollwood Baptist Church marches forward. And I ask you tonight to determine in your heart that what God is doing, you will be a part of it here at South Knollwood. That when God is planting a church in Leawood, you'll be a part of it. That when God is working to see souls saved here through outreach and through soul winning and through giving and going, that you'll be a part of it. Let it be that we have decided not just to let time slowly pass by till the rapture gets here, but that we as God's people see Christ and he is marvelous in our eyes. I believe that God is working at South Knollwood. And frankly, if I didn't, I believe I would be done. But I am so ever grateful that I have not seen God one step away from South Knollwood. He marches forward. I hope that you have the same commitment in your heart. That as long as God is working at South Knollwood, you will. That as long as God is giving to South Knollwood, you will. That as long as God is employing South Knollwood Baptist Church, you'll be a part of the work of South Knollwood Baptist Church. You see, it's a wonderful thing. Well, on a morning, we can hear of a young man dedicating himself in baptism in front of his family and friends and in front of the church body and commit himself to the act of baptism by surrendering and submitting himself to salvation first and then to the baptismal waters at South Knollwood. That is an incredible thing that God would do here for us. And then we get to rejoice tonight as a gentleman on the opposite age spectrum calls on Jesus Christ for salvation. This is not happening everywhere, but it is happening because God's people have fallen in love with the work that Jesus is doing, and they have decided it's marvelous in their eyes. I believe if we're going to understand, if we are really going to see the marvelous nature of Jesus here at South Knollwood this year, we need to understand six simple statements. The same statements that are found right out of this passage right here. These six statements are going to set a course for our church. These six statements are going to set a pattern for our church over this next year. I hope that by the end of 2018, you are sick of hearing these six statements. Because I want them to burn in our heart. Because I believe David was showing us, and I believe that Christ was pointing to the fact that if we'll live with these simple truths that God points out in this passage, the principles he lays out for us in Psalm 118 is the way to see the marvelous work of Jesus. I want you to understand these simple statements. I give them to you simply tonight. The first statement I think we need to understand from Scripture is that my neighbor and I need the same mercy. My neighbor and I need the same mercy. Would you say that with me tonight? My neighbor and I need the same mercy. Isn't it easy sometimes to see the plight of our neighbor? To wonder how they got themselves in that situation. Can I tell you, they need no greater mercy than you needed for salvation. I find my neighbors hurting. Their lives are falling apart. Some are caught and trapped in depression. Some are caught and trapped in the snares of this world. It'd be so easy to lift a righteous nose in the air and say, oh my, what a horrible, despicable wickedness this world is in. No, my friend, I want to be an ambassador of the mercy of Jesus Christ because we recognize this truth from Scripture that my neighbor and I need the same exact mercy. He doesn't need spectacular mercy. He doesn't need an extra thing, an extra dose of mercy. No, I needed the same mercy to find Jesus. He needs the same mercy to find Jesus. I need the same mercy of Jesus every day I wake up. He needs the same mercy of Jesus if his life will ever turn around. I look at the end of my pew. I look at the end of the row there that I'm sitting on. And I look down the way and I may have a brother or sister that I don't fully understand. And we don't see eye to eye on it. But really when it comes right down to it, they needed the same Jesus to save them that I needed to save me. And I may not like this thing or that thing. And I may have a little squabble here and there. And I tell you tonight, we must decide that there is no one in this church that needed more mercy than I needed. No one in this church needed more mercy than your pastor needed. There really isn't. I needed the desperate salvation of Jesus Christ. I needed him to come to me and wrap me in his forgiving arms. I needed to be washed clean of my sin. I needed to be set on a straight and narrow path. I needed all of those things done for me. I didn't do any of them up by myself. I didn't do any of them by my power. And I believe tonight that if you know Jesus Christ, you didn't get there yourself and you didn't do it by your power. No, my friend, we need the same mercy as our neighbor. So from this position, I can't judge them. I can't beat them up. I can't hold them at arm's length. No, I am their companion. I am their friend. I am one who is reaching out to them that they might hear, that they might know, that they might enjoy the same mercy that I have come to love. My friend, if we're going to understand that Jesus truly is marvelous, we are going to grasp at this statement, my neighbor and I need the same mercy. Look with me in verse number 1 of chapter 118. The Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. And what David does here is he lays out the families of the people, and he reminds them that every single one of them needed the mercy of God. My friend, you and I need the same mercy. I believe that we can give mercy this year from South Knollwood Baptist Church. I'm reminded that this year of what God wants to do in our soul winning program here at South Knollwood. Take it personally as a soul winning program that we're going to use this year as part of our soul winning training. If you haven't, it's been a long time, maybe you never have, maybe you've never taken the Bible and shown somebody out of God's word how they can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they're on their way to heaven. Maybe you've done it for many years, maybe you've had dozens of people come to Christ. I believe it is good for God's people to get back under the learning of God's word about the basics of soul winning. And this year we're going to spend weeks studying and learning about soul winning that we might be the very best instruments in the hands of God. I want it to be said of South Knollwood Baptist Church that we're a soul winning church. You know the only way to make that happen is for South Knollwood to go win souls. It's the only way. It can't happen outside of that. We can say we're a soul winning church, but if we're not winning souls, we're not a soul winning church, my friend. No, in fact, this year, I'm asking God to give us 80 people to partner together. To give us 80 people to come together week after week after week. We're going to take Wednesday evenings in the spring and in the fall. And we're going to take about 5 weeks in the spring and the fall. And I'm asking God to give us 80 soul winners to partner together to go out into the neighborhoods and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I don't know how to win souls. I'm going to partner you with a mentor, somebody that's going to teach you and train you. You'll get to see the ropes. You'll get to understand how it's done. And every week when God brings somebody to salvation, you'll be rejoicing right alongside them. Maybe you've done it for a long time. You say, preacher, I'm an old pro at soul winning. I don't know anybody that would say that. You've been soul winning for years. You realize you know less than when you started. But we might say, preacher, I've been used by God to win souls. Now, I'd like to be used by God to help lead somebody to win souls. And my friend, I'm going to ask you to mentor. I'm going to ask you to lead somebody and show them how they can be a soul winner. And I believe that it'll be a blessing. It'll encourage South Knollwood. It'll strengthen our outreach. And I believe that we will be more mighty body of Jesus Christ because of our outreach efforts. I'm asking God to allow South Knollwood to put 50,000 tracts on the doors of South Knollwood Baptist, on Topeka, Kansas. You can put them on the church, but that's useless. But I'm asking that God would allow our church. Years ago when I first came, we set a goal of 50,000 tracts, and we took about a year and a half to get it done. And I'm asking God to allow it to happen in 12 months. to allow us to put 50,000 tracts in the city of Topeka, Kansas. That means we're going to be taking the gospel outside our comfort zone. That means that you might be going to places that scare you just a little bit. Preacher, what will we ever do? Well, like this morning's message, we're not going to fear. We're going to have faith. And we're going to be faithful with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I believe if we'll reach out, and God will bless, he will use the seed to bless this church. We'll have our outreach Sundays. I love how God has worked with Mother's Day here at South Knollwood Baptist Church. We're going to ask mamas to come. We're going to ask you to bring mama with you to church. And I believe it'll be a blessing. We're going to use these days as important days of our calendar year. Not days that we let float by, but days that we can reach out to our families. I'm interested in your family being saved. If you've been saved here at South Knollwood Baptist Church, maybe even just the last couple years, I'm interested in your family coming to Christ. And I believe that these days like this will give you an opportunity to reach to your family and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before it's too late. I think of Father's Day. We're going to have a wonderful time with Father's Day on June 17th. And I encourage you to be a part of South Knollwood's Father's Day outreach. We have other things that we're doing, and I believe there's another slide there. You're going to see, if you go to our website tonight, you'll see a brand new website that we've laid out. And we've laid out a brand new website on purpose so that people can get a hold of the information of South Knollwood Baptist Church quicker and faster. This isn't the front page, but I liked that page, and so I wanted you to see the kind of fun we can have here at South Knollwood. And so, but I believe it'll be an opportunity for you to share our messages. This will make it easier for your friends to be able to get a hold of the message content here at South Knollwood Baptist Church. And as you share it to your friends, as you email it or social media, whatever you do with that information to share those messages, we hear all the time here at South Knollwood that our families get the messages because you share it with them. That rarely people come and find South Knollwood's information on their own. It's when you say, man, that message really meant something to me. I think that could be a blessing. And we want to make that more accessible. It'll be far easier to share it. People can access it from mobile sites, which we've had trouble with in the past. And we have a brand new website we believe will be a blessing and a help as you reach your family, as you reach your friends, as you reach your networks for the cause of Christ this year. God not only wants to show himself marvelous through the reality that my neighbor and I need the same mercy, but there's a second statement I want us to grasp tonight, and that is, I will pray because God listens. I will pray. Why would you pray? I pray because God listens. Well, what if God didn't answer the prayer the way you thought it should be answered? No, that's not the reason I pray. I don't pray because God's going to answer it my way. I pray because God is listening to me. If we could for just a moment imagine the magnificence of the fact that the creator of the world will stop and make an appointment for you at the drop of a hat, at a moment's notice, you can stand in the presence of God, lift up your voice, and he will hear you. What a powerful reality. My friend, we will pray. Why will South Knollwood be a church that prays? We will pray because the God of heaven listens. He does not hear you. He listens to you. You are not white noise in the background, simply rattling around inside the cosmic knowledge. No, God stops. He focuses and he listens to the prayers of his saints. My friend, I believe that this year will be a year that will mark our church as a church of prayer. We've prayed in past. We've prayed in services. We've stopped and prayed, and God has healed people. We've watched physical healing. We've watched spiritual healing. We have watched God turn the tides against the evil that was working in homes. And I've watched God do some amazing things at South Knollwood Baptist Church. And to do anything less than pray more is to ignore all that God has done. Oh, I want our church to pray more. No, I don't think we should pray less this year in 2018. If anything, if God's track record means anything to the people of South Knollwood, we should be more about the spirit of prayer this year. I'd ask you to look with me now in verse number four. Verse number four, we're going to read just these three verses. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. I'm excited about what God will do through prayer this year. In fall, the month of October, we're going to set aside time for prayer. A time we're going to call the cottage prayer meetings. The cottage prayer meetings. Years ago, decades ago, churches would gather together in homes all throughout the city. And they would gather in members' homes and they would get on their face before God and they would pray. Not worried about the clock, not worried about what was on TV, not worried about what entertainment they may miss out on, but they were worried about getting a hold of the God of heaven. And I believe at South Knollwood we will be a people that will be getting a hold of the God of heaven. We're going to spend time in the fall and in the spring. We're going to spend time in prayer here at South Knollwood, even on Sunday afternoons. We're going to spend time together in prayer. We're going to spend time together. I'm going to call the church to fast. I'm excited in the fall. And you'll understand why the fall here in just a minute. But as we build up out of the end of summer and into the fall season, I'm going to call the church to a fast. Some of you may be physically unable to fast from food. But I'm going to ask you to give up your electronics. I'm going to ask you to give up your screens. And I'm going to ask you to get a hold of God. We're going to spend time as a church fasting and praying and getting a hold of the God of heaven, asking him to work on our behalf. I will pray not because it's good for me. I will pray not because I get what I want. I will pray because God listens. I want to ask you this evening, would you repeat that with me? I will pray because God listens. God listens to your prayers. I want us to understand thirdly, this third statement is so important. We find it right in the passage, verse number 7. The Bible says, "The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." Would you say amen there this evening? I believe we need to grab a hold of this statement taken right out of the passage. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. Would you say that with me tonight? It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. There is no hope in man. There's no hope in your pastor. There's no hope in the deacons. There's no hope in the trustees. We are all people pointing to the one who provides hope. There's no hope in your Sunday school teacher. No, my friend, if you're hoping that he'll fix your marriage, that he'll put your life back together, you've made a mistake. There is only one hope for the people of God. The thing that makes us different, the thing that makes us peculiar, is that we come back to the Word of God to find our hope. I'm excited about the preaching here at South Knollwood. I'm excited already. I wish I could just stop and preach all of them tonight. I'm so excited. We have some exciting series I believe will be a help to you. And I'm not going to try to go through all of them by any stretch. But right now we're working through King Me. That is the fugitive years of David. I'm so excited about this study. Right now, this picture of David has challenged everything I know to be true about who the Lord is and how he works. I hope it's doing the same for you. I hope that it pushes us past the basic simplicities of Christianity and recognize that even in a complex world, God deserves glory and honor and praise. We are going to be studying in a series called Unsearchable, a passage that I've asked God to let me do for years. And this year, God has seen fit to let us attack. And that is the book of Job. You see, the book of Job is about an unsearchable God, a God that you and I cannot even begin to understand how he acts or thinks, and he will spend the life of Job teaching us and showing us and laying in front of us how God's ways are much higher than our ways, his thoughts much higher than our thoughts. I'm excited about the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon tells the story of a runaway, but a man who comes to Christ after meeting the Apostle Paul. The story of Philemon really is not the primary character. You see, Onesimus is the runaway. Philemon is now the brother, the owner of Onesimus. And we're going to find out how God wishes to use Philemon, how God wishes to use him as a brother to a man he once saw as a slave. Then we're going to understand in a series called Better. A series called Better. Better because normal isn't working. I'm excited about a study in stewardship. Not just stewarding our finances. We'll talk about finances. But stewarding our health. Stewarding our time. And stewarding our family and their resources. I believe that God will use the Better series to be a huge blessing to our church and to help set our minds true to what the Word of God says about what He's given to us. In the evening, Sunday evenings, we spend time with the books, with the storytellers, the book of Mark. We've started that series already. I'm excited about how God's going to use that this quarter, and I believe it'll be a blessing to us. As we get into the summer, we're going to have a few other studies I think will be a real encouragement to you, one on the home and on raising children. I know will be a blast and will be a help to you and your family. On Wednesday evenings, we started a series called Foundations. Foundations is diving into how to grow with the simple rocks, the simple stones that God has given to us in our Christian life, how faith works, how identification in Jesus works. I'm excited even for this Wednesday night to jump right back in with the principles of spiritual growth. I believe it'll open your eyes and help you see your Christian life in an entirely new light. I'm excited about how God is going to use the outreaches, but the programs here at South Knollwood to teach the Word of God. He does so through our Bible classes. He does so through our children's classes. Some of my favorite of what God is going to do, I'm excited about Vacation Bible School this year. In fact, I'm going to show a video on Vacation Bible School for you. If you would, just look right up here. Another resource that God has used at South Knollwood has been our Connections Ministry. I'm so grateful for the Connections Ministry, probably more than I could ever even say. I feel many times if I don't say enough about this incredible ministry, one I believe will be a blessing to you, and one that I know is a blessing to the homes, to the women involved in it. And I believe that if you will apply yourself, if all the ladies here would apply themselves to the Connections, I believe you find fellowship and friendship. It'll build you a connection at South Knollwood that'll be lasting and meaningful. And on top of that, we have some incredible, very powerful tools that are being used that I know will be a blessing. And I'm so grateful for Ms. Camacho and all of her work to make that possible. But I believe this to be one of the great ministries of South Knollwood. Another one of our great ministries, one of those keystones I'm so glad that God has brought to South Knollwood is our discipleship ministry. The discipleship ministry of South Knollwood uses the continued discipleship program. A program that's designed and built to help growing believers to get their feet underneath them with a mentor and a friend to help walk them through the day-to-day of the Christian life. I tell you, I wish I had had this as a new believer, and I believe it'll be a blessing to anyone that comes to know Christ. I'm excited about how discipleship is changing the shape of South Knollwood Baptist Church. Little things that we used to stop and have to intentionally go back again and again and again and again and again to try to help remind that new Christian. Sometimes even Christians would slide under the cracks and they'd be forgotten about. They'd have some behavior that they didn't even know from the Word of God they shouldn't be participating in. But because of the structure that Brother and Mrs. Highfill have brought into our discipleship ministry, we are able to deal with those truths and unpack those truths for a brand new believer who has one desire, and that is to get to know Jesus even more. And I'm grateful for the continued program and the Highfills who run that ministry. I will praise this the fourth statement I wish for us to get tonight is, I will praise God anywhere, anytime, and to anyone. Would you say that with me tonight? I will praise God anywhere, anytime, and to anyone. Now, do you really mean that tonight? Don't say amen. Do you really mean that tonight? I wonder if the marvel of who Jesus is and what he's done for us has captured us as much as it should. I believe that when we really, truly get a hold of what God has done, it'll be hard to shut us up about him. All we'll be able to do is talk about Jesus. It won't be awkward to stand with a group of men, to stand with a group of people at church and say, I've got to tell you what Jesus did for me. That won't be an awkward thing at all. In fact, it might be you have to tell the teller at the bank. You have to tell the cashier at the store. We have to get to where we just tell people about how good God is, because I want to become that kind of Christian that will praise God to anyone, anywhere, and at any time. Would you say that with me tonight again and say it from your heart? I will praise God anywhere, anytime, and to anyone. Psalm 118, verse 19, the Bible says this. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go in unto them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Tonight, we have a reason to praise God. When we think about praise, I know that we think about the praise service. This morning, I tell you, the music this morning was just rapturous. I just loved listening to God's people sing. And we got together and we sang ugly. We threw our heads back. We forgot anybody else was around and just sang till you could see the back of our throats. I love singing like that. And I love for South Knollwood to be that kind of church, to praise God. Why? Because we're not afraid to praise him anywhere, at any time, or to anyone. We can praise God. We think of our music ministry. I'm so grateful for the music ministry here at South Knollwood. I'm thankful for the work that Brother Harold does. I'm so grateful for the work that our choir does, that our musicians do, that the instrumentalists do. They sacrifice hours. And I think if we step back and realize the amount of time that our teams put together for us to be able to praise the Lord the way that we do, I think we would be eternally grateful to them. I believe we would be eternally grateful, even so grateful that we would even come and actually praise God. If I knew the amount of hours that the pianist works on their piece, I'd want to plug my heart into praise. Not just all the sacrifice that Jesus has made, but just the brothers and sisters who have given so much. Why? Because they find the praise of God to be worth the sacrifice. And as God's people, we are people of praise. But not just that we are a people that praise God here in the church house. I believe we should be people who praise God in our house. In our own homes, people who praise God. In fact, our vision for the children's ministry of South Knollwood, I'm so grateful for the hard work that the McCurries put into our ministry. And not just the McCurries, they'd be the first to tell you, the couples that invest themselves to see the ministry, the children's ministry of South Knollwood work. We have classes for all ages. That doesn't happen because your pastor goes and teaches them. It would be a nightmare. The truth is, we have that. Because there are families who are willing to give up their Monday and willing to give up time Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday morning. They'll go out and visit their class and encourage those kiddos to come to church. And I'm so grateful for the hours that our Sunday school teachers spend preparing the children's department for the teaching of God's Word. Can I tell you tonight? Our vision has been, and now 2018, we are going to add a piece to the long-term vision that we've had for our children's ministry this year. In our children's program, we use a program called Answers in Genesis. The Answers in Genesis program approaches the Word of God not as a group of stories. So often we get caught in the stories. We forget that they're actual real events. That there were really people who went through these things. There was really a creation. There was really a flood. There actually were people that were in the battlefield, and God brought miraculous victories. There were people who saw God do the amazing. I don't want the children of South Knollwood to graduate out of the children's program and head into the teen department thinking that these are stories. I want them to know these are the accounts of what God has done. a piece we're going to add this year, is a resource for families. I'm very excited about it. As you leave tonight, you'll go home with the first quarter of this program, but it is a simple devotional book, a book that I think will be a blessing in your home, an opportunity for you to sit down and go over that with your child, the program that they're doing at church. In other words, when you go through a daily devotion with your child, when you go through the devotion with your child for that week, you're going to be talking with them about what they learned in Sunday school. In fact, you'll be able to take your handout. You'll take the handout your child brings home, that beautiful full-colored handout that they get. You'll be able to take that out and find how this will line up with the handout that they received from their Sunday school teacher. Why do we want to do that? Because I don't want praise to stop at the church house. I want praise to fill your house. I want your child to know that your home is a place to praise God, because they can praise God to anyone at any time and anywhere. And I believe a resource, a tool like this, will help you as a parent, will help you in your home as you guide your children to praise God. I'm excited about our children's ministries. I'm excited about what God is going to do in your home. Now, let me tell you right now, we want to do something. I'm gonna tell you that this year, 2018, is pushing me way outside my comfort zone. And one I believe should push you outside your comfort zone. I believe there are things we do not because they are comfortable, but because they are good. I believe there are things we should involve ourselves in, not because they're the thing that makes the most sense, but because it makes the most difference. And this year, God is going to lead our church to take a missions trip. And I am excited that in the month of July, we're going to be taking a missions trip. I want you to see about it.
For 60 years, our church has been about the business of world missions. When it comes to the work of world missions, it is true. Our eyes affect our heart. Little can move the heart for missions like laying your eyes on the work God is doing around the world. Our willingness to stay sensitive to God's power at work requires us to set our eyes on the things God is doing. This year, South Norwood Baptist Church is going to witness God's marvelous work in Brazil. We want to see how God is changing the world through the gospel. The gospel of Christ and the establishing of local churches is God's solution for the plague of sin in the world. This will be a life-changing opportunity to increase your vision for worldwide missions. Our lives must be formed by the urgency of the gospel. God will use Brazil to burn in our hearts a love for worldwide missions.
I'm ready to go. I cannot wait. I'm so excited about it. I hope that you will be a part of this. We want to go to Brazil. We want to see the work of Tom and Cindy Brewer. We're going to spend 11 days actually with our feet on Brazilian soil, and we're going to watch what God is doing through the work of Tom and Cindy Brewer. We're also going to spend a weekend and get the opportunity to go to the church services with Sammy and Anessa Rogers inside the Amazon Basin. I know it'll be a blessing. It'll expand our vision, expand our view of how God could use us and how God is using missions to change the world. I hope that you'll be a part of it. I hope that you'll participate in it. Maybe it'll be that opportunity that God has wanted to help set the course of an entirely new way of thinking blessing for your family. I encourage you to be a part of it because I know it'll be a huge blessing to you. And then I want to look at a fifth statement about the truths in Psalm 118. Psalm 118, that brings us to this reality. Since the Lord made this day, it has everything I need to find joy. Since the Lord made this day, it has everything I need to find joy. Would you say that with me this evening? Since the Lord made this day, it has everything I need to find joy. The Bible tells us in verse number 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. What he is saying here in this text is, I don't need anything else than what I get from God. Whatever God gives to me is exactly what I need. And I believe if we are going to be a people who marvel at the work of Jesus Christ, we are going to be people who have become content in Jesus Christ. That we would be people who are content in what God wishes to do in us. I believe that that means we need to get close to the things God has given to us. So often we starve not because God hasn't provided, but because we haven't spent time where the feeding happens. We haven't spent time where the provision is taking place. And I tell you that God is providing the very nourishment our soul needs right here at South Knollwood Baptist Church. I'm grateful for our fellowships in the Bible classes. Our adult Bible classes are a resource for fellowship and encouragement, and I believe would be a massive help in your life. If you're not already, or if you're not continuing in the adult Bible class, I remind you to put that back as a priority in your life. And I can hear somebody say, preacher, I've been a Christian for many years. I don't need that kind of fellowship. I don't need the fellowship from people in my church. You know what? It really doesn't do anything for me personally, preacher. Then might I remind you that as a member of South Knollwood Baptist Church, it's not always about what you get. But how will we be a benefit and a blessing if we don't invest in others? If you've already been blessed and you are too blessed to get anything more from Bible class, can I ask you to come and be an investor? Can I ask you to come and invest yourself? Because there is someone who needs you. There is someone who needs your encouragement. There is somebody who needs your smile and your shot in the arm. That you would be a blessing to someone else. There may be somebody who stands on the edge of even walking with Christ one more day, and you could be an encouragement and a blessing to them. I remind you that today has everything you need to find joy. We intentionally build times of retreat into our church, men's retreat and ladies' retreats. I encourage you, ladies. I encourage you, men, take time for those. Clear your schedule when you see them coming. Why? Because we don't retreat for no reason whatsoever. We intentionally retreat so that we might charge back even harder. I tell you, our homes need men and women who have refreshed themselves in the Word of God, who have refreshed themselves in fellowship and encouragement. Our hearts need to be linked with other believers. Our faith needs to be linked with other believers. The ladies have incredible ministries of ladies' fellowships and Christmas parties and silent auctions. And I remind you, ladies, that this is an important design. It'd be so easy. Can I tell you what would be easiest to do? It'd be easiest for us to say, well, maybe we should just cancel the ladies' stuff. Maybe we should just cancel the fellowships. You know, maybe if new people don't come, maybe it'd be easier if we didn't. And that's what the world wants the church to do. They want us to cancel stuff. I tell you, I don't ever see God asking us to go backwards. I've not yet one time needed to move backward. I believe that the opportunities for ladies' fellowships and Christmas parties and silent auctions, these are opportunities meant to help you, encourage you, and move you confidently forward in what Christ has called for your family. Opportunities like I Can See It Sunday. You say, preacher, wait a second. I Can See It Sunday. Yes, a day where we get to stop and celebrate our anniversary as a church, that God has been faithful to South Knollwood Baptist Church for all these years. By the way, it's also an opportunity to give. You say, wait a second, preacher. We didn't want to talk about giving tonight. Well, I do. I'm excited about the opportunity to give. I think of all that God wants to do at South Knollwood. And even in the weeks ahead, we're going to be moving forward on this project that you have purchased and put together with your financing because you gave. We didn't have to take out any debt. Our church is in zero debt. How does that happen? How does a church have zero debt? Well, because we've got a pastor who... No, my friend. No, you are at zero debt because you listen to the Lord Jesus Christ and give as he asks you to give. If the membership of South Knollwood doesn't follow Christ in giving, there's nothing your pastor can do about it. A broke church is a broke pastor. He sits to the side and does nothing and waits. But when God's people give, the ministry of South Knollwood moves forward. So I'm looking forward to I Can See It Sunday, and I hope that it will be a blessing and a help to you. Don't worry. If I Can See It Sunday isn't enough opportunities to give, we'll have more. We'll give you opportunities to give for incredible things. And even as you took to the church planting offering that I asked you to give, I believe that honors Christ. And I believe that he leads his church to do this. And one day there'll be a church in Leawood, Kansas. And as you travel through Leawood sometime, you're going to look over and see that Ironwood Baptist Church sitting there on the side. And you're going to say, I had a part in that. I got to play a part in that. One day we're going to put all of our church members in a van. And we're going to drive, not one van, we'll caravan. And we're going to drive to Leawood, Kansas, and we're going to take tracks, and we're going to hand tracks out all over the city. And you say, preacher, I don't know a whole day to do all of that. You know why we need to do it? Because our God is marvelous, and he is doing a work through us. I'm grateful that God has given us everything we need to find joy. It may be that we have to change our joy from the shallow, temporary things of this world and turn our focus of joy to the opportunities God gives us to fellowship, to give, and to serve side by side here in this church. We have the opportunity given to us by God to see his provision and his joy. And then the sixth statement tonight. Worship is my response to the truth God shows me. Worship is my response to the truth God shows me. Today, we have found the word worship twisted and abused and misused. We hear worship and we think of songs, and some people outside the church, they hear worship and they think of a band, and they think of like eight or nine people across the front raising hands, eyes closed, hand up with the microphone, looking hip, at least good enough for a social media picture. And that's their idea of worship. It's that one moment. Can I tell you what worship is? According to Scripture, worship is not praise. I would take most of what we think worship is, and I would put it under the category of praise. In other words, that's to laud or to elevate the name of God. When we sing, we are praising God. We are elevating the name of God. When we worship, we're doing something that's inside. Worship isn't seen on the outside. It's something that takes place on the inside. You see, when we give the opportunity for an altar call, do you know what we're doing? We're calling the church to worship. When we bend our knee and we say, God, I heard what the word said to me today. I heard what your spirit impressed on my heart today. This is my response to it. God, I confess this sin. I commit this next day. I take this next step. I lean on you a little more. I abandon my lack of, and I accept your provision of, and we get on our face before God and we make a decision that is directly connected to the word and the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God. And do you know what took place? Worship. And until we get there, we haven't worshiped. We've sung songs. We prayed. We had a hymn or two. We listened to a message. But until God's people respond to what God is doing in here, there's been no worship. Worship is the act of bowing oneself, not outwardly, but inwardly bowing the heart before God. Saying, God, your will and not mine. Tonight, I want us to begin in 2018 to understand the biblical definition for worship. If we sell worship out as some other version of praise, or we sell worship out as just how I feel right now, instead of recognizing that worship is the obedience of a Christian hearing the word of God and following the Holy Spirit, we will be a people that miss worship altogether. I don't want that for us. I want to see, as David wrote in Psalm 118, verse 26, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Ye have blessed you. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which showed us light. Bind the sacrifices with cords, even unto the horn of the altar. Thou art my God. I will praise thee. Thou art my God. I will exalt thee. You say, how are we going to worship God? Well, we're going to get the opportunity to expose people to it. The opportunity, you understand with me that that South Knollwood Baptist Church has been commissioned by God to duplicate itself. At South Knollwood, we're going to duplicate ourselves in Leawood, Kansas. We're going to plant a church. In fact, I've put together a series of messages I believe that'll help our church understand church planting even better. It's a series I threatened last year, and I'm going to go through with this year, called What to Expect When You're Expecting. I'm so excited about it. I believe that this will be a series of messages that will help us as a church understand why church planting is important, not just for that church, not just for those people, but for this church and this people. You know that church planting is a part of healthy Christian living? If we're not a part of healthy Christian living, then how are we going to be healthy Christians? I believe that we can be a part of the natural process of enjoying God and then handing him off to others. I believe church planting is going to be a massive part of this. It's going to begin even this weekend, this coming month. Sorry, don't be here this weekend. This coming month, we're going to be ordaining Keith Drinkard into the gospel ministry. I'm so grateful for the testimony. He's not here tonight, so I feel like I can say it just a little more openly with you. But I feel like this couple, it was chosen by God for this call right here. Years ago, I've never told, I guess I have in small meetings, I've told the church that I feel like that Leawood's always had a special place in my heart. In fact, when we came the weekend that we found out about South Knollwood, we were in Kansas City. And we were in Kansas City there praying in the city of Leawood, asking God if he would let us plant a church there. And we prayed, God, you want us to plant a church in Leawood? God, would you let us plant a church in Leawood? And we were there in Leawood that night, drove around, prayed, and asked God, stopped in several places. We could see where we could put a church and place a church. And God, if you'd let us, we'd be willing. We'd love to do that. That next afternoon, after we got our phone call, we set up a quick meeting. I don't think I even met very many people. I met a few of the trustees and deacons. Brother Eddie Alvarado was there and a handful of other guys. Brother Wally McGee was there. And they came together. A couple other guys in the room here with us, they were there in that meeting. And I got a chance, they toured us around the building. We started praying about South Knollwood. And when we left here, we'd had a chance to sit down and talk with the trustees and deacons. They're so gracious and so wonderful. And we instantly fell in love with the guys. We didn't even know the ladies yet. And we liked these guys. And so we started praying. Our hearts left. We left with two hearts. We left with a vision for two things. And we started praying that next month, and we asked God to show us very clearly what he wanted us to do. And in a process of his leading and a process of counsel from others, we came back and candidated at South Knollwood. And that night, you asked us to be your pastor. And that night, we accepted it. And we knew that God had moved our hearts to South Knollwood. But God wants to do something in Leawood. And tonight, there is an affluent city, 35,000 people. And the churches that are best reaching the area are outside the city of Leawood. And we believe that we could plant a church right in the heart of Leawood, Kansas, that would make a difference for the people of Leawood. You see, come to find out, I don't know that I would have been a good fit. But I believe as I've watched God grow Keith and Melissa and use Keith and Melissa, I'm finding out that as a former banker, as a university grad, as a man who's been in the leadership, and as a woman who's been in banking and involved in all of those things, that God has designed them to think a certain way, to think in a way that he'll get honor and glory as he uses it to plant a church. I recognize with you, God can use anyone to do anything he wants to do. But then I also believe there are times where God cuts out of a particular cloth the people he wants to reach a certain area. And I believe South Knollwood is behind that couple. I'm excited about what God would do in Leawood, Kansas. I'm excited that it will be a part of South Knollwood's story that we planted a church right over there in the Kansas City area. I hope that you'll partner in and you'll get all in. I really do. I believe it'll be the healthiest thing we do as a church to plant another church right over here in Kansas City. You see, I told you in the fall that we here at South Knollwood, I told you that we're going to take time for prayer and we're going to We're to have cottage prayer meetings. We're going to have prayer meetings in the afternoons here at the church. And we're going to take time on our lunch breaks to meet here at the church for prayer. And I'm going to ask you to spend time in hours at a time through the church where we could pray in a 24-hour period, just each person taking 15 to 20 minutes to an hour and just pouring themselves into prayer for what God wants to do. And I believe that God wants to do something amazing. I believe that God wants to speak to your heart. He wants to speak to your family. And I believe that the people that will best benefit from what God wants to do will be the people that minister and that serve in the arena of prayer. I'm excited about something that we at South Knollwood have never done before. We've had some conferences here. We've had some meetings here. We did years and years ago. We did a family meeting, right? We did a whole series on the family, and we brought in a special speaker. And we did four nights with this like author for families, and we brought him in. And the first night of family night, right there, Hope for the Home conference, and everyone that was in the auditorium was over the age of 65, save my wife and I. I thought, oh, the very people who needed it the most didn't come. And I thought, I walked away from that. I said, Lord, what can we do as a church to put our heart behind the preaching of what you want to do? I believe in revival. I believe that our church would benefit from investing itself in revival. By the way, I don't want the kind of revival where we kind of show up on one night and then we leave and then we show up again the next night and we leave. We show up the next night, the next night, the next night, and then it's all over and we can finally get back. Oh, we can finally get back to our Netflix. I don't want that kind of revival. I want the kind of revival that makes us see God in such a way that we're no longer enamored with the junk of the world. I want the kind of revival that pushes us past what we call normal into something that is bigger and better and more beautiful than anything Hollywood's ever put together. I want the kind of meeting where we abandon sin, where we reject the lies of the world, and where we just accept God for what he says. That's the kind of meeting I want. This year we're going to have a revival. I'm excited about it, and I hope that you'd give attention to this video.
Ezekiel speaks of God taking him to a valley filled with the bones of dead men. Bones that once held life, laughter, and hope lay dry and dusty on the valley floor. But God made the command, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. In response to the declared word of God, those bones came to life. They grew back the muscle and skin, and the haunted image was now full of life. Enjoy. So the preaching of God's word has the power to bring about the abundant life that Christ offers to his children. In revivals decades ago, people would gather together under the preaching to be revived and refreshed. Then it would happen, God would speak to his people. Joy restored, Christians would take the light of Jesus wherever they went. The lost would come to the meetings and be born again. The revivals of yesterday were marked with people in fasting and prayer, strong revival singing, and the thunderous preaching of God's word. As those who believe in the power and necessity of preaching, we look forward to October 14th through the 21st for our first week of awakening.
I'd ask you to put that at the forefront of your heart for the fall. I'm excited about what God will do through a week of awakening, a week where we intentionally take time to get with God. It's going to be a Sunday through Sunday event. If you look on your calendar, it's a Sunday through Sunday, and we're going to give that week to the Lord that he might use it. I'm asking you right now, clear your schedule. The reason I give you the calendar is so that you can clear your schedule. I want you here for this meeting. Not because this is something that we've got to get done and it's another event. No, my friend, that's why the prayer. That's why the intentional stopping and focusing on what God wants to do. Because we recognize that God could use a week like this, that God could use the preaching like this to be a blessing and an encouragement to our families that would radically transform our community and would change the focus of our hearts towards that which actually gives life. This year, I'm excited that God is going to allow us to see how marvelous he is and that we will find him marvelous in our eyes. For my neighbor and I need the same mercy, and I will pray because God listens. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. And I will praise God anywhere, anytime, and to anyone. Since the Lord made this day, it is everything I need to find joy, and worship will be my response to the truth that God shows me.